Praise God. Everybody, one moment. Let's raise a hand. One moment, please. Everybody, one moment. God, we thank you for this time, God, that you've gathered your children here together. God, what beautiful children you have in your house tonight, God. We thank you, God, that you love us all, God. And we thank you, God, that you have a word in season and in time for all of us tonight, God. I thank you, God, that you have chosen me as your vessel to come forth and administer tonight, God. And I thank you, God, that you are pouring out new revelation in all of us, oh God. I thank you, God, that you are no respecter of persons, oh God, from the eldest to the young, oh God. I thank you, God, that you love all of us and that you have a blessing and a word in store for us, God. I thank you, God, and I plead the blood of Jesus already, oh God. And I thank you, God, that you're giving us listening ears, oh God, in the name of Jesus, seeing eyes and receiving hearts and minds, God. I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus. Cause us, God, to digest this well, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Every word in season, oh God, deserves to be digested, oh God, like a good meal. And I thank you, God, that it would be digested, oh God, well, and be nourishment and nutrition to our bodies, oh God, spiritually, oh God, in the name of Jesus. I thank you, God, already, God, that you have anointed me, God, for this, God. And I thank you, Lord, that you are also anointing others out here, God. I thank you, God, in the name of Jesus, that new vessels are growing and being planted, God. And I thank you and I praise you for it right now, God. And all your things we pray your son, Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Ooh, praise God. What a pair of beautiful songs.
Yeah.
What a pair of beautiful songs, because when you think about it, we have a friend in God. I mean, I have a friend, and you know, the guy at the bank, that's nice. And I have a friend, and you know, my guy who works down at the post office, and I have a friend and my neighbor, and those are great, and those are wonderful and beautiful, and there's nothing wrong with that, and I wish you well. But to have a friend in God, that is an exclusive friendship that not everybody can say that they have a wonderful, genuine relationship with. So that's nothing to be taken advantage of. And God, you reign. That means that everything that hits you and influences your life, from what happens in the morning to what happens in the evening, in the afternoon, God, you still reign, you still Lord in your life. That is a conscious decision that you have elected and said, I'm going to make God the Lord and make him reign over my life in spite of what happened on Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, what my mama did, my daddy did, my son, my uncle, brothers and auntie, cousin. God, you still reign. And I thank you for that right now, God. So we're continuing the series tonight. We're continuing the series talking about, we have been speaking on, you know, concerning giving and tithes and offering. And I want to add my little piece to the pie, my little ingredients to the stew, if you will. Tonight, preparing our hearts to give. You know, last week we received a wonderful lesson and a wonderful word, and the teacher began teaching us, and she taught us that, you know, hey, if you tithe, then God wants to be your provider, amen, Jehovah Jireh, he wants to be your protector. And I don't know about you, but I need all the protection and want all the protection that I could possibly get, amen. And when you tithe, you become a participant. That's what she also told us, amen. The word of God told us you are a participant because you are participating in the will and the plan of God for your life. And once you do that, you are subject to God's promises. That was another one that she laid on us, because all the promises of God are yes and amen. He told us in his word. And a lot of times we don't qualify for some of the promises because, well, hey, we may have stepped out of God's will in tithing and what we offering for our lives. Amen. And she said also that tithing pays. And it does. And it does. If you go forth and give what God has promised, what God has asked you to give him, his first tenth, God is able to multiply and extend and raise it up to levels so far gone that you will even be surprised and you will be impressed yourself. I said this morning when I was doing in the morning service doing the tithes and offering message, what is it that is setting you apart from the rest of the world as a child of God? What is it that distinguishes you from Joe Blow walking down the street or Susie Q? Because the world is getting more and more into it, to a position to where we're going to have to make sure we are distinguished and we are set apart as children of the Most High God, rather than allow ourselves to be walking outside of the whole armor and the whole covering of God. Amen. So getting started, digging in a little bit this evening, you know, the importance, preparing our hearts to give, the importance of being, you know, internally prepared as always, you know, as much as being externally prepared, which, you know, God wants to give seed to the sower. Being internally prepared has always been taught, you know, to us and through us as being important to operate in the things of God as much as being externally prepared. Amen. God has filled the Bible with so many things that talk about, you know, checking ourselves down on the inside. The Bible talks about, you know, when David got in this mess, what did he say? He said, create in me a clean heart, renew the right spirit within me. That's what he made that declaration in the book of Psalms. And, you know, recently as well here, we've been also talking about and focused on taking communion a lot more. And, you know, and the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 11, everyone should look into their own heart before they eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Amen. The meek and teachable among us have received the word sown on good fertile ground and have learned that God loves a cheerful giver. And when that cheerfulness that comes from the inside, I believe you can find that also in Corinthians. God loves and desires us to be a cheerful giver. So the question remains tonight is, how does one prepare their heart to give? Amen. Sure, anyone can physically give you something. I can physically hand you something. I can physically say, here, take this. But how is one make sure that they are qualified internally if they want to see God's blessing operate in their life? How are they prepared? How are they prepared internally to be that giver? Amen. Amen. So I guess I'm asking you tonight is, what qualifies as a cheerful giver? So I want to go back. I want to pick on. I'm not going to say pick on, Lord. That's the wrong word. But I want to go check in on, you know, those classic biblical brothers. I think most of us in here know these guys. And, you know, we have been introduced and been told about these guys so often. Tonight, I want to go and take a look at, you know, their hangout for a second and just put a bit of a Holy Ghost microscope on this. Of course, I'm talking about the originals. The first one, you know what happens in the book of Genesis. God created heavens and the earth, sea and the firmament. He said, this big planet shouldn't be alone. So let me introduce this guy to him. We're going to call him Adam. And Adam's going to get to name all the animals and the birds and the seeds. He said, Adam shouldn't be alone. So let's introduce Eve on the scene. And then a little time after that, we got those guys, Cain and Abel. So I'm going to read the New Living Translation here, Genesis, the fourth chapter in the third verse. So where I'm going to start reading this New Living Translation. And, you know, and when it came time for the harvest, Cain presented some of his crops as a gift to the Lord. Abel also brought a gift, the best portions of the firstborn lambs from his flock. Of course, one was a tiller, one was a shepherd. The Lord accepted Abel and his gift, but he did not accept Cain and his gift. This made Cain very angry and he looked dejected. So obviously it was something that Cain was emotionally attached to. I think a lot of times our offering and our seed, which it is something that we should be, if we really are trying to give it with good purpose and intention, it should be something that we are emotionally attached to because we want the Spirit of God to be pleased, but we also want whomever we are giving that offer to, whatever organization, we want them to feel like, hey, we have done something important for their lives. Amen. And God saw what was happening here. And in the sixth verse, you read where he told him, said, why are you so angry? The Lord asked Cain, why do you look so dejected? You will be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out. Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you, but you must subdue it and be its master. Somebody say, be the master.
Be the master.
Amen. So some observations here. Now, those keen in hearing among us will pick up what really happened here. If you got that good ear, you'll pick up what really happened here. Notice God doesn't immediately tell Cain that he has sinned, you know, and you say, oh, sin. Sin, what has got to do with anything? Well, if we want our gifts, when we give and our offerings and our seed to be sown properly, we have to make sure that we have allowed ourselves to be shaken somewhat from all infirmities that we may have caused to come up on our life. Now, I may be going a bit deep here, but God told Cain, if you do what is right, you will be accepted if you do what is right, but if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out, sin is crouching, though eager to control you. The option for Cain to still sin was still on the table. It was up to him to pick it up. A lot of times when we are sowing and reaping, we are in the process of sowing and reaping, there is that temptation to reach out and grab something that it's out there, but we don't know if we should really touch it. We're saying, God, this is for me, this is not for me. And God is saying, no, just stay the course and do what I've asked you to do. Do this, don't reach out and grab this. Not yet, not yet, not yet. Hang on, stay the course, amen? Now, that was the first observation. Now, Cain, the Bible says, Proverbs 3 and 12, because the Lord disciplines those he loves as the father, the son he delights in. If God sometimes immediately tells you no, or if you don't get the sense that God threw a big party or a confetti over your seat, so on your offering immediately, that doesn't mean that you did a bad or negative thing, amen? Number one, is it what God was asking of you? Sometimes we want to plant something or shove something into a fire, and God was saying, hey, that's great, and I appreciate what you're trying to do, honey, but that's not quite what I was really asking for you. If I had a position open, and I'm somebody who's a hiring position, and I scouting talent, and somebody brings me this person with this qualifications, and I'm sure, well, hey, you know, you're a nice candidate, and you know, I'm sure you're a professional, but to my scouting director, this was not what I was looking for. I was looking for person A, you brought me person B. Everybody who hangs around me knows how much sometimes a bit of a sports junkie nerd I am, too much sometimes. If I'm a guy scouting positions for a team, you know, let's say it's a game of football, well, hey, I'm sure this guy is a great kicker, you know, the guy who kicks the ball, but buddy, I wanted a quarterback and you brought me a kicker. So is it what God was asking for you, amen? Now, number two, is it your highest and your best? Sometimes we want to offer them. If I was going to give you a car, I said, hey, I'm going to sow this car in your life. I'm planting this seed in your car in your life. I want to make sure that it is something that you can really use and something that God will be proud of. If I'm gifting something to God and I say, God, I offer this up to you. This is my highest and best. We want to make sure that really qualifies so God can say, hey, I see what Susie Koo is trying to do, or I see what this person is trying to do. So yes, I received that offer. That you can't do nothing if I said I'm going to bring you a car and I bring you the oldest, the slowest, the most beat up, got holes in it, that hand ran in 60 years. Here, my brother and sister, receive ye this car in the name of Jesus. That's 80 years, it hand moved an inch, and you're going to start it up and you're going to get an eighth of a mile down the road before it ever stops anywhere. So sometimes we have to let ourselves to think about, is it your highest and is it your best? Amen? Amen. And number three, regular sacrifices and offerings in many forms are regularly expected from God's children and servants anyway. That's one of the prerequisites and one of the qualifiers for being, one of the prerequisites and qualifications for being a child of God. We are supposed to be the person that pours out into the world, offering ourselves, offering our time, offering whatever we can to impart in somebody's life. That's a regular qualification. Like, that's not something that you have to wait 60, 70 years to get that ordination, wrong O word. You have to be a part of that, and you expect to be a part of that as you go in Christ now. So we should be given with the mindset to glorify God and not glorify self. Glorify God and not glorify self. That's one thing sometimes that is hard to escape in our society, because we live in a world that's built so much on self-glorification sometimes. People want credit and they want, you know, to be recognized, which is nothing wrong. But we fall into the trap of what Brother Cain fall in here a little bit. Everybody, I think, here, myself included, has fallen into the trap of the old J word coming out. Y'all know the J word, don't you? I heard somebody say it. Oh, yes, the J word, jealousy, yes. Our motivation, so-and-so got recognized, and so got this, and so got that. So I should get that. I should be the one getting that. So God, what is up with that? And so this leads me to my next point of tonight. Realize that not every seed planted is meant to serve the same purpose. And I have this written down here specifically, that realize that not every seed planted will grow into the biggest tree. Jesus even hints at this in one of his parables in the book of Matthew, chapter 13. He's telling this parable as one of his famous parables to his disciples. Matthew 13, 3 and 8, I'm again reading this out of a New Living Translation. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell upon the path, and the birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, or 30 times, which was sown. Some translations say 100-fold. But what happened here is every seed that got planted, it winded up, not everything grew into the biggest, most abundant harvest. The act, the faith act, is to still plant the seed anyway. Sometimes we lose sight of that because we say, okay, well, I planted the seed and this didn't happen. It didn't grow immediately. Like, I wanted it to plant the seed and I wanted it to grow. Like, I want to plant the seed, go in the house, and 2 minutes later, I come out, I have a big redwood in my yard. It doesn't always happen. There's a concept called seed time and harvest, but that's a bit of another discussion. But we have to realize that not every seed planted, one, is going to grow into the biggest thing, the biggest sequoia tree. If you ever visit somebody's house and, you know, they've got the trees and yards, but they also may be that person that has different plants serving different purposes. Like, they have the plants that you hang up on your porch, or they have the plants that you hang up around the door. Not every plant there is for, you know, every purpose. Some of those plants, again, the big, huge trees, they give shade, they give protection. They're there for that. They're there to, you know, bring shade. But then you have the plants that you see on your front porch that, you know, hey, they're just there to make it pretty, be beautiful. Sometimes you have to do that. You have to realize that when you're planting your seed and when you're giving whatever you want, God has told you to give, God sometimes may have a different purpose in that seed being planted that you may not initially see the outcome and the finished product yet. If I plant 5 different seeds in the ground, 5 different, you know, whatever can be planted, from vegetables to fruits to just standard trees, some are going to grow at a different rate. Some are going to grow, you know, fast. Some are going to go slow. But we have to allow ourselves to realize that as we sow our seeds into God, whatever it may be, our time, our money, whatever God has given us to plant into another life, whatever we put into somebody else, we have to realize that sometimes people just grow and they mature at different levels. It's important not to lose sight of that. I want this person, and I want this organization, or I want this this whatever, this entity, to be fast, shoot to the moon quick and be the top. But that may not be what happens immediately. You have to put work in sometimes. Amen. The Bible says, be not weary in well-doing, for we should reap if we faint not. Amen. So that is something to keep in mind. Realize that not everything will grow to serve the same purpose. Amen. Amen. Another thing to keep in mind as we progress through this is to not allow ourselves, myself included, all who you may come across, not allow ourselves to look negatively on what God has planted, given someone else to plant. Amen. In other words, don't look negatively at someone else's seed, because God is in the process of trying to bless them. Just because their seed or what they're offering or what they have is one way, that doesn't mean that, hey, we should look down on them or what their status they've claimed in life. Jesus had a teaching moment, if also in the Gospels, where he talked about the widow with two mites. You know, they had the other guys coming in there. They were the rich guys coming in there planting their big property. But he said, this woman right here has given more than what these guys have, because she gave out of her livelihood. Jesus talks about that. You can pick that up and read that in the Gospels. He talks about that. Sometimes when we are going through life, everyone here, because I see we have a diverse audience, and we're all at different stages. So I see, you know, brother so-and-so is at this level, and I see sister so-and-so is at this level, and another brother so-and-so is up here. This brother should not be looking to put down or discourage or make negative where these two people are, because God, as previously mentioned, is growing us all and prospering us all at different levels. Amen. As a matter of fact, as children of God, we should be looking to raise up everyone that we come in contact with. That includes friends, that includes family, that includes co-workers, that includes neighbors, that includes anyone who God will bring into your path, because the Bible says, you know, the Bible says, God says, we wish above all things that are so prosperous that we be in good health. And, you know, for us to get to that, sometimes it's a different journey for everybody. Amen. Sometimes God will, you know, do it one way, like I believe it was, gosh, where is the scripture? The scripture where Jesus went to heal the man, and he told the blind man, and he said, go wash your eyes in the pool of Siloam. You know, he made, spit it out and made clay and told him to go wash his eyes. And he said, hey, what do you see? I see men, but they have the appearance of trees. And he washed again and he was healed. That was that recipe for his breakthrough. That does not necessarily mean it was the recipe that will everybody or for anyone else in the Bible, that was his breakthrough. Amen. We have to be sensitive and allow ourselves to see what, allow ourselves to hear and let us, excuse me, praise God. We have to be sensitive and allow ourselves to be open to whatever God wants to implant and impart with us. And it's no different here when it comes to sowing what we have to give to God, because everybody, believe it or not, has something wonderful to offer. I said at the start, I believe we all have, God, I believe all of God's children are beautiful, and they all have something great and wonderful to offer. We have to allow ourselves to, number one, be comfortable in what we offer, because we all have something to offer to the kingdom of God, you know, whether that be some of us, you know, maybe monetary time or whatever, but we all have to allow ourselves to be set up and in position so we can do what is right so we can please God. We're putting ourselves in Abel's position here because, A, we want to give God, okay, give God your highest and your best. Remember that, set in your heart and your purpose in your heart and mind that give God your highest and your best. Number two, always be certain and be sensitive to the Spirit to know that it's really what God was asking and what was required of you. Always be sensitive to that. And as I mentioned previously, sometimes we, praise God, we are expected to always give and contribute something to the kingdom of God as a regular requirement. My third point that I brought up. So I want everybody to make this confession with me. Lord, make me right in my sowing. Lord, let my tithes and offering be a pleasing sacrifice. Lord, I want to reap a bountiful harvest. Lord, I want to be the lender and not the borrower. Lord, I declare my supernatural increase released right now. And if you believe it, say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So I'm actually getting ready to come to a close in a couple moments, but I just want to remind everybody to, number one, don't neglect small beginnings. The Bible said, in Zechariah, despise not small beginnings. And somebody from the beginning to the from the beginning to the end, somebody may be at that small beginning. So when it comes to planting seed, you know, God doesn't want us to take his light as a sowing seed. God doesn't want to take our tithes and offerings lightly. So we should not get into a position to where we are despising, you know, what is technically small, because some things are small, some things are not small. Once upon a time, didn't this ministry have to have a day one? Had every day one, right? And if big fancy corporation or anything you see big and prosperous had to have a day one, had to start from somebody's small office space. We had to start from somebody's, you know, maybe somebody's bedroom, maybe somebody's, you know, garage. It had to start from somewhere. So let us not despise small beginnings. Number one, reiterating, I'm about to sound like a broken record. Always be certain, you know, what God is asking of you. Amen. Always too, and I'm gonna add this sub point, make sure you are doing it for the glorifying of God. I said it earlier, make sure you're doing it for the glorifying of God, not glorifying self. Sometimes that's too easy to fall into that. Make sure you're glorifying God. Number two, always be certain that you're giving your highest and your best as you are able, so able to give, and never forsake that. And number three, make sure your actions are in love.
Amen.
Make sure your actions are in true love. Amen. Amen. So, God, I thank you for what you have given me to share this evening. I thank you, God, that your word is going inside of your people, God. And I thank you, God, that your healing virtue, oh God, your healing virtue to heal whatever there needs to be a healing, oh God. If it may not be something physical, it may be something spiritual, it may be something emotional, God. I thank you, God, that your healing virtue is released, God, in your people. And I plead the blood of Jesus right now, God, over all hearts and minds in this building tonight, God. I thank you, Lord, that the Holy Spirit lives and dwells inside of every soul in here, God. I thank you, God, that the evidence of that comes and lives and dwells inside of them, oh God, that they will, God, will be a witness, God, for everyone they come in contact with. I thank you, God, that everyone they come in contact with is blessed, Lord, because they are blessed. God, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, here are your beautiful children, God, wanting, oh God, to hear from you, Father, wanting to receive from you, Father, wanting to know what you have to teach us, Father. I thank you, God, that you have not forsaken us. You have not forgotten us, God. I thank you, God, always, God. I thank you, God, and I say, God, you have permission, God, to be our provider, oh God. You have permission to be our protector, oh God. You have permission, oh God, in the name of Jesus, to unleash your promises on us, oh God. I thank you, God, that we want to be a participant in the name of Jesus. We are a participant, God, in your kingdom and your will and your plan for our life, God. And I thank you, God, that you have in mind for us, God, getting paid, God. And I thank you, God, there is no soul in here in the name of Jesus, oh God, that is subject, oh God, in the name of Jesus, to being left out of your will and kingdom of God. In the name of Jesus, I thank you, God, and I plead the blood of Jesus over it. Thank you, God, for receiving hearts and minds, hearing ears, oh God, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you as always, God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.